All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Blacker Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey y'all, welcome back.
Welcome back, boo-boos.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you? How was your weekend?
I'm good. My weekend was filled with brunch.
I'm good without you. Remember that song?
All the girlies is that?
Huh? You making it your own.
Oh, I'm thinking all the fellas is looking at us. The maybe. DJ keeps on spinning it up. It's like that y'all.
That y'all.
That y'all.
I'm good. It's I don't think that's it. Okay, Brittany, hold up. It's not. Maybe it is. I don't know.
No, I don't know if that's.
No, what you... I'm good. I got to think about it. What you were singing is Mariah Carey, dog.
For sure.
So it's different. It's hitting different.
So my weekend was full of brunch and things. On Saturday, went to brunch with Kayla and Sean to a beautiful restaurant called Margot in Culver City.
Margot.
Yeah, I must attend. Super vibey. It's so cute. You know I love cute places. Mm-hmm. Really cute food with good drinks for good vibe mood. It's, you know where it's at?
Where?
You know that Sweet Green that we go to in Culver City?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, it's a rooftop. Near there? It's in that same plaza.
I love a
but
rooftop.
But it's a rooftop situation.
I love a rooftop.
Went there. Me and Kayla went to the Beverly Center after, and it was like the damn BET Hip Hop Awards. It was reeking of PPP. It smelled like weed in that bitch. People were dressed like they were going to the club. Like, I'm talking full club dresses, heels, stilettos, pumps.
In the mall.
Full beats. Like, it didn't look like people were coming for a little shopping. Like, it was a real situation. I rarely ever go to the Beverly Center, but I'm like, this what the fuck is going on here?
The mall used to be a big vibe, though. Like, getting dressed on the weekends.
But we weren't getting dressed like that. But I guess times have changed.
Times have changed. And, you know, trends. As you get older, you just go to the mall to get what you need and be about that, bitch. Period. You don't be just walking around no more. I would spend all day in the mall as a young tyke.
Chloe passed gas, not me. You smell that.
The disclaimer, right? The stanky booty.
Yeah.
Ooh, Chloe.
No, it was really a thing. It was really a thing. I'm talking like music blasting in the parking structure, pulling in like
the valet. Like,
I'm like, where we at? Is there a club here? Is there a day party?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And then Sunday, went to Alicia's house for another girl's ladies brunch.
Yeah.
One thing about Alicia, she knows how to host.
Right. She's
the
gonna
food,
host.
She made this beautiful arugula.
Oh.
Cilantro salad paired with fingerling potatoes, a cinnamon cornbread.
What?
That girl,
she made this stuff?
She made all this. A turkey sausage, bacon.
Wow.
Germany.
Sounds phenom.
Paired with mimosas and then cocktails. I'm like, I can stay here all day.
Sounds beautiful.
So that was my weekend. How was your weekend?
Filled with work. White man work. So, I mean, it was quiet, and that's the way I like it. If I got to be at work, don't call me.
Period.
Every time that phone rings, I'm like, did they forget why I'm here? God.
Just to get paid?
My presence. That's it.
Right.
Your presence, Lord. I'm like.
No, you did not.
Listen, let me tell you something. I had to tap in with my gospel, my praise and worship playlist today. I said, Lord, I need to
yes. get you on.
I said, Lord, I haven't given you
your flowers.
Your flowers. Yes. I said, now you are the one who's kept my family safe during the fucking pandemic, who's continued to bless, who keeps money in my pocket, who continues to open doors when I think they've been shut. Lord, here are your flowers.
Your presence,
Lord. Period. Okay, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. So I had to ride around and get it today to that. I'm like, you know, you are good. It was that.
Whoa.
And it was, you know, you're great. Yeah. King Jesus. It was all of that today. So here I am, filled with the Spirit.
Okay.
And ready for a new week. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. This week I'll be going out of town though.
So
doing a call
making
in.
Up getting back what the devil stole.
Yeah. So it'll be good. But yeah, I'm happy to be here.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So what we will be happy to see are the ratings and the reviews.
I don't know how we're getting to 2,000 if y'all ain't doing what needs to be done.
We're at 1,666.
Y'all, you might seem like we have a long time before the end of the year.
334.
But it's going to come fast.
It's going to come fast. We have about, the 2021 is almost done.
It's done, okay?
2021 is almost done. So if you love the show, if you like what you hear, and you really fuck with us, like y'all be saying y'all fuck with us, take a couple of seconds out of your day, go into Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, and most importantly, leave a review. Thank you.
And if you're new here and you don't fuck with us, then just press stop and keep going.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you don't fuck with us, we don't fuck with you, and we don't need you to say a goddamn thing.
Just hit the road,
Jack. Just go.
That's it.
Period. So let's read our review of the week. Mm-hmm. This one comes from the Edgeless Horseman.
Okay.
Yeah. She says, it's up and it's stuck.
That's what we like.
I am so glad my sister and soror told me about this podcast. These women are as smart as they are hilarious. I love how natural they are because their authentic selves really make the show. Their commitment to mental health and self-growth is an essential need for millennials today. Thank you both for being amazing at being yourself. You are truly an inspiration. It's up and it's stuck. Yeah, that's what it is. So keep on leaving y'all reviews. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Also, we have Patreon.
We do have Patreon, and that's our exclusive membership community where we're giving bonus goodies. The bonus episode for our besties this month will be post-traumatic growth. So that'll be out this week. If you're interested in that, make sure you follow us over there. We also have a mid-month check-in that we do. Yeah. We have affirmations, a playlist, just tons of things. So if you really like it here, you'll love it there.
You really would love it. So let's shout out our patrons for the week. We have Lauren, who upgraded to being a bestie.
Hey, Lauren. Welcome.
We have Chanel.
Hey, Chanel.
Sydney.
Hey, Sydney.
Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That's not it. We actually have Nia, too.
Hey, Nia. Hey, welcome. Nia. She almost forgot you, girl.
Yeah, sorry about
Thank y'all for being patrons. We really appreciate it so much.
We really appreciate you.
Patrons are the heartbeat of the show, so y'all keep us alive.
And thriving.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Should we talk about... Anyway, we can get into that. So, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
Yeah. So, this is our segment where we talk about things happening in pop culture or things happening with us in our lives. Mm-hmm. So what's going on?
Oh, you're asking me what's going on. The only tea that I really seen was Portia from The Real Housewives of Atlanta dating
Simon Godbaga,
which is her I don't know, what do they call them? Castmates?
Her castmate, yeah.
Ex-husband. What's the castmate's name? Fallon,
yeah.
And that is downright dirty. I didn't watch the season, but that little tea makes me want to go back and check it out.
Same. And I'm like, it's sounding like a break in girl code.
Sounds like it to me.
It's a girl code violation. And then Portia said that her and Fallon were not friends.
But I've seen clips of her being at her house. So.
And I feel like people flip and tumble the definition of a friend to their advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, now y'all not friends, but you were friends enough to be at her house in her pool around her husband,
right,
who is now your husband. So, bitch, that's enough of a friend to get your head knocked off.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a vibe for me.
The fuck going on?
But honestly, Fallon has been very graceful.
She's taken the
Omarion unbothered approach. She's just like, no tea for me. And Portia knows she's dead ass wrong. And that man has been caught up. And another woman has said that she was his boo-boo.
She was involved. But Simon said that's the husband. He's the ex-husband. He said he needs to see receipts.
Bitch, the receipt was a photo being posted on March 8th or May 8th. And
your whip with your hoodie on her lap.
Period. So. Right. It's very sick. It's very sick. But I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to go back and watch.
I'm going to go back and watch. I said, let me shut up. I might not even finish it.
This season, I'm going to watch.
Next season, though? That's probably where the tea going to be.
I'll watch both, okay? Yeah. Both with an F.
One thing about this girl, she going to binge.
I will.
One thing about that.
I'll let y'all know my thoughts once I get the full tea. But as of right now, I'm standing firm in she's fucking wrong. So that's that.
What else is tea is that we got our new office space.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we got our new office space, which was definitely a highlight of
the week.
I know. It's a highlight of our journey in general. Yes. A major milestone. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited about that, decorating it, getting it all together. And we will for sure share more about the journey and how that came to be.
Over on Patreon.
On the check-in this month because... Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a crystal stair.
It's been a wooden staircase. The staircase has actually been wooden.
It hasn't been a crystal stair, so.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk more about that and just the feelings around it and how it came to be. So if you want to hear about that, join us over on Patreon. The information is down in the show notes.
For sure. So. Yeah.
Is that all the tea? I think that's all the tea.
That's all the tea.
It's been slow motion, so. Last
No juvenile.
No. So last week's episode was episode 190. We're still in the midst of our moms making it happen. series, and we chatted with a Canna mom, Shanitria of the Blunt Blowing Mama podcast. And Shanitria basically came on the show and taught us about the ways to partake in marijuana safely, how she responsibly juggles motherhood and marijuana and her personal life, right? Yeah. And it was a really enlightening conversation. If you are a Canna mom or know a Canna mom or just interested in marijuana intake, then tap in with the episode. Let us know what you think.
Yes, 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 yes. So this week we are wrapping up our Moms Making It Happen series. It's been fun.
It's been fun.
But it's time to move on. So we are finishing it up with a pair of our favorite moms. You've heard them here before, but today we talk about something completely different, completely fun. So tap in. Here we are.
Between the winter weather and the stress of quarantine, my skin is in desperate need of some TLC to get ready for the summer. I discovered Osea at the perfect time. My skin is so healthy and smooth now. Adding the Undaria Algae Body Oil to my routine has been a game changer. It's made with clean ingredients and packaged sustainably. Y'all know it's all about the packaging for me. Osea is good for your skin and the planet. They use plant-derived ingredients, they're vegan, and most importantly, they're female-founded and operated. Tap in, y'all. Let Osea get you right. You can try Osea risk-free for 30 days and get free shipping on orders over $50. You'll also get free samples. Get 10% off your first order with promo code BGB at OseaMalibu.com. That's 10% off with code BGB at OseaMalibu, OseaMalibu.com.
Okay, am I bringing it in?
Bring it in like you always do.
One day you're going to bring it in.
I'll never do that.
Okay, y'all. Hey, y'all. Welcome back. So we are here with some of our favorite moms.
Mm-hmm.
Erica and Mila of Good Moms, Bad Choices. You guys are probably familiar with them because we've chatted with them before. And even if you didn't hear our episode with them, they're some big time bitches. So yeah. I'm sure you've probably heard them some other way. But let me just give you a brief intro of who they are. So there are two moms who made a podcast for parents and women who may feel alone in their good and bad choices, which I love because I imagine me as a mom still wanting to live my fucking life.
I think so. I think you'd be that kind of mom.
That's the kind of mom I want to be, like, for years. And I'm still trying to figure out what motherhood would look like for me. But I'm like,
you don't even got to think about it. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. But sometimes motherhood looks stifling, if I'm keeping it too verbal.
Oh, yeah.
It looks stifling. So I love to see Erica and Mila doing their mommy thing because it shows a different perspective and alternative way that motherhood can look.
Yeah, I agree.
So welcome to the show, ladies.
Again.
How are you guys?
Welcome to the show again.
Thank you, ladies. That was a hell of an introduction. I appreciate that.
Mila was sitting back like, yes, give us our flowers. Mila was like, mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am that mom. Yes, I am.
Famous.
You are. You guys are. You're doing your thing. You guys are doing your thing. We're very proud of you too. We love to see people who've been podcasting for a while who've like carved out a lane for themselves. And we can see your community grow because we're part of it. So it's just like so refreshing and you know, just such a light. We love to see
And encouraging.
And encouraging, yes.
Yeah. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves, how you guys came to be for those who are new here.
I'm Erica. I'm Mila for voice distinguishing purposes. Yes. We are obviously both moms. Like my daughter is 6 and Mila's daughter is 6. Our kids are best friends. And because they have no choice.
Yeah.
They actually do love each other. So me and Mila actually met through a mutual friend. So I had just had my daughter and I didn't realize it at the time, but I was going through postpartum depression. I was the first of all my friends to have a child, so I was like the guinea pig. I really just didn't know what the fuck I was doing at all, and I was really lonely. And one day I was on Instagram, and my friend Nisha, shout out to Nisha, hey, Mama Soul Bakes.
Love Nisha. Nisha's cakes. Yeah. They're fucking shit.
Best yeah, they're good.
Best cakes in LA.
They are.
She posted like a picture of Jamila, and I was like, bitch, where the fuck is your this? She has a baby. What, you're like, no, I'm lonely. Where the fuck is this friend? And she was like, oh, actually, we're gonna go out tonight. You should come, you know, meet up with her so we can meet up with us so you can meet her. And so, girl, I must have called my mom at that moment, like, I need you to take Irie. I'll be back in, like, 2 hours. And, you know, moms at that time, like, you just had a baby. You're going out.
Right.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I am.
I am.
And so I dropped my daughter off, went to the club, and
cornered me in a dark.
Literally, like, was like, the only reason I was there was to find her. I was like, where the fuck is this little tiny person? Looks like I, that was another thing I noticed, because like she, I saw your pregnancy photos and she just literally was just all tummy, and then like the next photo was her not pregnant and she had like a six pack again.
Yeah, this is
the little
back.
Jada Pinkett.
I was like, bitch.
The way how Instagram works.
I was like, oh wow, okay.
I knew she was little. I knew I had to look for a little person,
little petite person. I think I found her in the bathroom.
I've never had anyone. Approach me so hardcore to be my friend in the club. I'm usually that person, and she was like, "Hi!" She like appeared in the light. I was like, "What the fuck?" She's like, "You have a baby. You have a baby, right?"
Yeah, I do.
I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Yes, yes, I do." Is this? Are you the police? Who are you? Right.
Child Protective Services. What are you doing
right,
here?
Right.
Like, she was like, "I'm Erica. I'm Nisha's friend. Take my number. Where do you live? We should get a play date." Keep in mind, the kids are like 6 months. So I was like, okay, play date. Yeah. But at the time also I was the first person in my friend group to have kids, and I was probably deeply in postpartum depression, not realizing that I was. She approached me. She was very, very, very adamant about getting the girls together the following week. And, apparently so was I, because the following week that was the club on Saturday, about Monday, Tuesday. Okay. I was at the house with the babies. Barely head sitting up. We're like, next to each
other. I'm like, this is a play date.
Hold
right?
that neck.
Are you having fun? They're like looking at us. And it was desperately a play date for us. We needed an outlet, but still very surface. We didn't know each other from a can of paint. And, you know, it's not normal to go on a first date and tell all your business. So it was just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I think like I was like, do you smoke weed? She was like, yeah. I was like, oh, thank God. So then we hung out a few times as doing the mommy date thing. And then I think we went out one time, and then like we were like, okay, we can have fun together. And then I remember I went to her daughter's birthday, and I was at that point I just started dating, because I had been when we met I was still in a relationship. But then so like our friendship or our mommy dates progressed. I won't even call it really friendship, but mommy dates progressed. And then at one point, me and my baby daddy broke up, and then I went to her daughter's birthday, and I was telling her that I had joined Tinder, and then I started dating a married couple.
Mm. And I had already broke up my baby daddy at this point, too.
And so when I told her that, she was like, bitch, what?
You're more my cup of tea than not.
She was shocked that I was, you know, doing that. And so during that time, too, I started listening to podcasts. I got really into, like, murder mystery podcasts, and just started searching, like, for podcasts about parenthood, and they were all so fucking white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So married. And I was like, I can't relate to any of this. And I honestly, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, I had, you know, I had been acting on and off my whole life, but with being pregnant and I felt just unattractive, I was like, well, that's over.
Yeah.
So I asked her, I was like, do you want to start a podcast? And she was like, what's a podcast?
Yeah, okay. I was just happy that somebody wanted to do something with me.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, okay, but are you going to tell this story about your couple? Like, what kind of podcast? Because I only have two settings, on or off. Okay?
Period.
Well, I guess I'll talk about it. And then that was the birth of Good Moms, Bad Choices. We scheduled a photo shoot, and then we just pushed record one day, and we're like, let's see what happens.
You guys were ahead of a game with the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah.
Where's some photo shooting?
Where's some
bitches?
Photos and both photos? So
that was like the first thing we did. Must have photo shoot. We barely had a microphone.
I love that.
People really got to know each other on the podcast. So people that have been listening to the podcast from the beginning have watched our friendship kind of blossom. And the first time I'm hearing stories about her is the first time, you know, our audience is hearing stories. So it's been very amazing journey, and now
we're married.
And
yeah,
literally just like only hang out with each other anyway.
It's crazy. And we can like co-parent. It's like she's my baby daddy. It's just basically.
I love that.
You know what you guys do really well on Good Moms Bad Choices or with the podcast? The vulnerability is top notch.
Yeah,
like just gonna say the vulnerability and the way you share your stories, and it's very like
it's brave.
Don't give a fuck. is admirable because we struggle with that a lot. We struggle with vulnerability and sharing and just being so transparent the way that you all are. So to see you do it, it's like, okay, maybe we can do it. Maybe we can share a little bit more of our business. How the fuck do you come on every week and share such personal stories without what I would, what for me personally, I would feel like, am I going to be judged? Are people going to be like thinking, like, you know, we have no control over who listens to this podcast. Like there's 60, 70,000 people who are downloading this show every week, right?
Every month.
And hold on. Once it's every week, you think I'm out of my white man gig.
Every week, 70,000.
Talk about it.
Every month though, right? Yeah. Like we have 70,000 people who are listening every month. How do you show up and just say, fuck it, we're just telling the business and we don't give a fuck? What it like, what the fuck?
Yeah, how?
I think honestly what it is at this point, and it almost came upon on accident. I think we literally, honestly, we did the fucking photo shoot and then we sat down and we were like, let's just record like a sample. Like, let's see what did we even do?
Mm-hmm.
And when we started to talk, it was like we were having a conversation, and then we decided to keep it because we knew nobody was listening.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening. Like, who's going to listen to our podcast?
In the beginning.
Keep it and put it out. And then I think that was the dynamic after then. It, like, we were having a conversation, and then it started to grow. And I think, like, 3 months in, we had the thick on, and we hit, like, 10,000, and I was like, oh, shit. People are listening to this?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, God. Like, but at that point, we were getting people, other women and other moms who were like, I'm so fucking happy that you guys are talking about smoking weed. I'm so happy you're saying, like, you're fucking outside of your baby daddies.
Yeah.
You're normalizing it. And so it really gave us the bravery to, like, to understand fully that the vulnerability was what moms needed. There's a lot of bitches on the internet talking about how great motherhood is. But, like, it's not great all the time. You
it's
know?
Not. And like, here I am talking about it's not. Like, I'm a mom.
It's not. No, it's scary.
Mm. You know, apart for me, though, like, I think Jamila's really given me a lot of bravery when it comes to honesty. I think I'm still, like, getting more and more honest. She's a lot more vulnerable on the show than I am.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Mm-hmm. I think like I save a lot of my vulnerability for close friends on Instagram.
Patreon.
Or, yeah. Or for Patreon. I still get a little nervous. I think also because I have a corporate job, like even though I am a creative, like my job is, you know, my mom for a long time was not the biggest fan of my podcast because she was like, how is you oversharing going to affect our business?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, this is a corporate business. So that kind of held me back for a while, but I think, like Jamila said, like the response that we get from people just by sharing things is like it's so outweighs whatever the alternative is to whatever, if it's bad, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the response is, that in some ways, in so many ways, the podcast, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this, has healed me.
Yeah.
And just being able to be honest and say things to talk to my best friend every day and kind of forget that, yeah, we're posting this to, you know, 70,000 people. Like, I kind of forget.
I still forget.
I never do. I'd be like.
It'd be at the forefront of my mind.
I'm like, hell no. Hold on, bitch. You'd be like.
It's always after I said some shit. Like, I said some shit on this week's episode, and I literally had a memory. It just jogged my memory, like, this week, and I was like,
God.
Also, YOLO. Like, it's done. And my biggest lesson in being vulnerable is, like, we'll say all the time, I'm not perfect. I'm not doing this perfectly. There are lessons to be learned. I'm growing. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of shit that hunts me when I get famous. And I'm like, well, never said I was perfect.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's just where I was then. And that's where I'm at now. And I learned from it. And like, that's the premise of our entire podcast. It's like, we are good moms. We make some bad choices. Sometimes they're bad, but most of the time, all decisions are good because you grow from them. You have a good time and you live.
Yeah.
Period.
Live to see another day.
Period. Yeah. Period. I mean, even having this conversation with you all is encouraging me and inspiring me to be like, okay, we can come here and be a little bit more transparent or be a little bit more open.
What is your fear? Is it work-based or is it just personal?
Let me tell you my fear. My fear is that I feel like you become an open book and like people can use like the information to get like a
one up.
No, not a one up, but like a quick summary of who you are. Like all of like you just met me, right? And you can find out I have a podcast and you can go onto the podcast and find out all what of I my like. Weaknesses,
yeah.
How I'm broken, what I've been going through, shit, how I feel about you. Cause right. I'm on here talking about what you did. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel kind of cracked open. And I'm usually feel like I have more control. I think that's what it is. I feel
the
like
lack of control.
Yeah.
The lack of control.
I feel like
people. But the truth is you can't control anyone's opinion. You know what? Anyway,
that's, you can't.
Those are valid feelings. And honestly, to be honest, it happens. Like people will do that.
You know? Yeah.
And it's happened to me actually. Like I've talked about it on the podcast. I had a situation where someone reached out to me and kind of like listened to my whole podcast, started speaking my language. He was a single dad.
Yeah.
Attractive, basically like hunted me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only for me to find out that he was married.
Oh, that's
I remember
nigga.
This story.
That sick nigga.
Remember right. this story.
Been, yeah. If you guys want to check it out, it's called I'm Dating a Married Man.
It's a great episode.
A little plugiana.
Yeah, a little plugiana. It's funny to think back on it now, but it was a little bit traumatizing and it still has kind of left me traumatized. I already have like trust issues anyway, but like when I know it's true, like I know that it's very easy to access a lot of details about my life and the way that I think in a summary form. But for me, it's like, well, that part of it was like, that's on me. I didn't do enough research. I didn't ask enough questions because the return on me sharing is so much more higher and important than like, you know, my feelings being hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, that I don't know. Like I think that you'll find so much freedom in
letting go.
Yeah. And that's what it is for me. That's what it is for me. I told Brittany this a couple last week actually, and I was in fucking tears about it. And I was like, I've never been. Well, I was like, I've always been afraid to just fly. You know, like.
You got mushrooms.
Well, I was gonna say, were you
on
mushrooms?
No, this time we weren't.
I actually wasn't.
Yeah.
But I had just come to the realization, like, yo, I've never just let myself do a thing, right? I'm always so scared about what's going to happen. I'm so connected to routine. I'm very connected to security, like my white man gig. And I love things that are sure. So it's hard for me to bet on myself. And in the like cliche sense, fly, right? Just let go and just do it. Whatever it is, if it's the podcast, if it's starting a business, telling my business, I've never been super comfortable with just being like, fuck it, this is me, right? Showcasing myself. And this whole conversation stemmed from the fact that like, I'm really shaded on Instagram, right? I don't really post too much. Y'all, I posted for the first time in over a year to my feed.
And she was shaking.
And I was shaking and stirred, baby, shaking like a stripper.
Why? What happened over there?
I just never post. I have this thing about people really knowing me. It's very strange. It's very strange. And I posted it and I was like, oh my God, it's up and da, 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 you know? And I was like, Brittany, like it, but it has roots, you know what I mean? And the roots are that I don't really feel comfortable betting on myself. I don't feel comfortable really like letting go and flying. So a lot of that keeps me from being too open or being too transparent. But I do want to share more. And we had this conversation as well, that it has to be about community first, right? Everything that we do has to be about progressing the collective first or forward. And then we have to think about ourselves on the back end. So, you know, just what you guys do is very inspiring for people like me who are in a shell and afraid to let people see who I am.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes. Well, you know what? You have to stop using that language though, because you're constantly like affirming who you are by mm-hmm. doing that, like saying that I'm in a shell and I don't bet on myself. Like, you do bet on yourself every week. You put out a podcast. You're putting out a production. Your shit is always. I'm like, how their shit is so beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel like ours is like a mix mosh. I'm like, how the fuck is it? How?
No.
What's the template?
No.
Ours is a scrapbook.
No. It works. Everybody's doing something that works. You know, you guys
show up for yourself every day.
I do. I just have to get more comfortable with like showcasing and sharing, because I know that that's an area of opportunity for me. So yeah. I'm working on
We're working on it together.
Mm-hmm.
So
and also don't get it twisted. Like, we do give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, we be giving a fuck. Like, yeah. I don't give a fuck. But I'd be giving it.
I was telling her I am a rebel with anxiety. Okay? Like, I be having so much anxiety when I make the decision that I know nobody wanted me to make, or that like was just like all gut,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is practice. You have to practice giving less fucks.
Yeah, you do. You have to flex the muscle.
It feels uncomfortable, and you gotta just be like, "Fuck it, breathe through it." And
I still
every
give
time.
A fuck in a lot of ways that I don't. I need to work on not giving a fuck.
Yeah. That's what I'll be doing this month. This month, I'll be releasing more and not giving a fuck.
That's what we have to do.
Well, in January. I'm not doing it in May.
January.
June.
Yeah, wait 6 months.
Like, we way past.
I'm going to come with it in a couple weeks.
Yes.
I'm like a fresh start type of bitch. So I'll start on June 1st. I give a
sicko.
Couple fucks. For,
sicko,
you
sicko.
Know. Yeah.
June 1st, we're telling our business. Tune in.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, that's what I'll be doing.
So, like, how do you guys?
I'll be tuning
in. Yeah.
Yes. How do you guys manage being mothers of 6-year-olds and your entrepreneurial pursuits, and also like your corporate job? How do you do it all? Because podcasting is very tedious, very time consuming.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you do it? Because I don't know how I do it. I'd be looking at myself sometimes in the morning, like, bitch. As soon as my eyes open, I'm on my phone. I got to post this. I got to edit this.
Yeah.
What are we posting on Instagram today? Like, goddamn, how do you do it and be a parent?
I don't know. I don't know.
Somebody come check on us.
Yeah.
check on moms.
Yeah.
Check on working moms. No, for real, because there's no perfect balance. I guess that's the answer, is that sometimes I'm okay, and then sometimes I feel like I'm doing a terrible job, you know? It's like... There's no perfect balance when you are, you know, first of all, I really feel like I'm living in my purpose, and I'm like, I can't stop thinking about what I have to do. I'm so excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, like, I'm also very excited about being a mom, but like, I know that like, it took me so long to get to this point in my life where I feel like I found my purpose and I'm truly happy in what I'm doing, and that... And having a child sometimes will make you feel guilty for doing those things, right? And it's like this guilt of like, okay, well, I'm taking too much time away from her, but also she's seeing me work, and she needs to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know, I try to really dwell on the fact, or focus on the fact, that I know that, you know, I'm there for my daughter. I show up for her, and I'm not always there physically, but she knows where I'm at. You know, and I think what I'm trying to do more now, so because we've talked about this in my close friends where I cry and shit.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've been feeling really imbalanced. And she told me, like, she checked me.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, shit. And she checks me all the time. Like, she'll be like, Mom, get off your phone. You're always on your phone. And I'm like,
the read.
First time she said that to me, I was like, and then I was like, I'm working.
Yeah, I'm working. Like, exactly.
This is why you go to private school. You know?
Right.
Like, but I guess trying to involve her more, like in what I'm doing, like making her feel like she's part of it. Actually, by the way, we need to talk about that, actually. The kids need to design a hat together.
Aww. That would be very cute.
I just had to say that before I forgot.
She's been saying that. They feel included, but yeah, she's been saying she wants.
But yeah, like, I realized, like, she's at the age now where I can incorporate her in my business in ways and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I've yet to apply because I've just come to this realization. But that's motherhood. Like, I'm a new mom. I'm not like a seasoned mother. I'm figuring this shit out.
I've only been doing it for 6 years.
And my community, though, are filled with seasoned mothers. Yeah. Are filled with moms that are like way past where I'm at. So I'm just so grateful that like we have that space where like women are reaching out to me when I'm crying and my close friends, and they're like, listen, this is what you need to do. And I'm like, you're right.
Oh.
So
I am doing a good job.
So
right?
To answer your question, I don't know if there's a perfect balance. There's things like there's tips like involving your kids and your things. Like obviously like taking a few hours, like an hour out of your day or 20 minutes, even 20 minutes to focus with your have a moment with your child. Do I do that all the time? No, because I'm not perfectly balanced, and like I'm just gonna keep it 100, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I just try my best. Try your best.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not an easy job. Like, kids are small humans that don't get social cues, and like awkward. They need you a lot. Like, it's like you're really domesticating a human. But I feel like it's a tightrope, you know. It's like sometimes you're good at it and sometimes you don't do well, and then you feel like you check yourself, you're not doing well, and you come back, you know. It's a constant balance, and you have to grow in it, and we apologize to our kids, you know. I'm sorry I'm fucking up, and I'm sorry we're working so much, you know. So we try to let them know like we're not perfect and we're trying to figure it out, which I think will help with the trauma.
Yeah.
What, we talked about this, girl. Yeah.
We talked about this when you were six.
Don't blame me for that. I told you I didn't know have all the answers yet.
So what are some things you wish you would have known before becoming a mom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but what do you feel like somebody would have just been like real raw with you and been like, this is what you gonna experience, bitch?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, we're talking about like that birth.
Oh, like shit.
Peeing on myself for, ooh, like 2 weeks after a C-section. Everyone failed to tell me that small fact.
That tidbit. The incontinence.
There's a little information about
like
what
little tiny things that no one tells you. And then you're like, what the fuck? And then everyone's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend. It's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to Hormone Harmony starts now.
This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio, and let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against the backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading.
Yeah. What happens to your body right after birth? You only talk about the birth and then like the raising of the baby.
Let's think about like how fucked up you are in between there, and like you're just like a shell of who you were.
Yeah. That's the part I'm the most afraid of.
Because you've just birthed a human and there's no fucking instructions. And you have to worry if they're breathing.
Well, you went
through
something so crazy and amazing and also traumatic, and then no one cares about you anymore.
Yeah.
Just like the baby.
Yeah.
So there's that part. I swear we love children. And then I would say, I guess just for me, like, how fast time goes.
Mm.
Like, people tell you, but until you are in it, you don't, it's not something you can even understand. You know, it's just like, I'm looking at my daughter and I'm like, what the fuck? I was telling my friend today, I was like, my daughter's gonna be a first grader. I have a fucking first grader.
Your friend, she told me, she's like, you know, she kept saying, Ivory's graduated from kindergarten. And I'm like, ah. She's like, Ivory's gonna be in first grade. And then, like, 5 minutes later, I delayed as hell. I was like, Luna's gonna be in first grade.
Exactly.
She's like, bitch, they're the same age. I'm like, the whole time I'm like just literally thinking about her and her
like
kid.
Not acknowledging.
I'm not acknowledging that this is also happening in my household right under my nose. I'm like, crazy, right? I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have a first grader. That's crazy. I'm like a real mom.
Yeah.
I had a parent-teacher conference call today.
See?
Damn. See?
Yeah.
Brittany and I have already made a pregnancy pact. We're like, please, Lord, let it happen at the same time.
We need
time.
2 6-year-olds at the same goddamn time.
You guys are really blessed and lucky to have two at the same age.
Yes. Because I don't want to have to hunt nobody down in the club who just had a baby. Like,
Brittany, are you dating right now?
Yeah, I'm dating.
Are you you have a man, like a consistent one?
I have a consistent man.
Okay.
But no babies. No baby.
Okay, well, you're waiting. You might get that pregnancy pack.
How old are you guys? There's time. Take
I know
time.
Your periods are already aligned. I know you obviously.
They're definitely aligned.
They are aligned.
We're both 32. We're turning 33 this year.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
it's time.
We're turning 33 this year, but
I'm saying like 2 years. 2 years. We'll be good. 2-3 years.
Yeah. 3.
Also, I don't know why, like, young people, because I thought this, like,
oh. You guys, hold on. Guys, chill. Chill out. Am I tripping? Are they screaming?
I can't really hear it because I'm wearing headphones. Okay. Right there. Still screaming.
You guys, why are you yelling? You're right in front of her.
Moms. Moms uncentered.
Yes.
They're so cute. Do they have, like, these little Afro puffs?
Oh.
They are adorable.
Go for it, Mila. So what were you saying? You feel like young people.
Oh, I think there's so much pressure.
We are young people.
No, I know.
We are
like,
young people.
We are.
I'm just saying, like, okay, for instance, my homegirls who are my age and don't have kids yet are, like, stressed about it. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I ain't stressed.
When I take Luna to school and, like, all the white moms are significantly older than me, and I can tell for sure. And, I'm sure they think like I'm a teenager. But
they probably
the teen mom.
I'm like wearing my booty shorts, no bras, my hat that says "Moms Love Flowers."
Yeah.
But I realized like white parents plan. They plan and then they're chilling. Like they're rich by the time they have 6 year olds. They're chilling. They have a nanny. Like that's how you're supposed to do it. I don't know how we got it fucked up. I was like 26. Like I'm a grown woman.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'm still a teenager.
Yes.
So I'm like, if you could wait, it's like there's no time frame about having a child. And guess what? No matter what age you do it, you're still not gonna know what the fuck you're doing. There's no instructions either way. So take your time.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact that, bitch, these eggs about to be scrambled. We can say we can hold off and all of that, but
everybody is stressing about
a spade is a spade.
It's a marketing ploy.
It is a marketing. They want you to buy space in their freezer.
It is a fact that our eggs are decreasing. Okay, but you're 32. You're gonna be okay, unless there's something you know that I don't know. I don't know,
but I just don't want to be that old ass mom like 40. I don't want to be 50 and my kid is 10. That's sickening.
All the moms at school are about that age anyway.
It just makes me want to fall on a sword. I just want to look.
Like. I'm not really pressed to have kids. Like, I would like to. I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I'll have a kid. Because before I was like, fuck them kids all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, you in love. That's why.
Like, no. It came. Kids. I ain't in love, but. But I'm just like, oh, it wouldn't be that bad to have a kid. And I definitely, if I had a partner who wanted to have kids, I'm like, okay, I can pop out one, max two. But I just feel like I still am not ready to have kids right now. Like,
not this very minute, but maybe like 3 years.
Yeah.
I'll be ready at year three.
Year three. Yeah. I mean, Germany will have a kid today. Don't let her tell you nothing. Germany.
Also, not having kids is fine too, also. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
You'll have a lot more freedom, to be honest. I'm just keeping it real. And because freedom is like, you know, it depends who you're asking what freedom is, right?
Yeah.
Like, for people that shouldn't have, because there's people that have kids that just shouldn't have kids. You know, like there's that. And then there's people that, like us, who have kids, but, you know, we still prioritize ourselves because we can't be good moms unless we take care of ourselves.
The mama got to have a life too.
Is there so much guilt? Do I not feel? Of course, I feel guilt all the time. I'm always like having to walk myself through the guilt and talk myself out of it and call her and be like, "Am I?
I'm terrible."
But I don't know. I just feel like society pressures women to feel like they're supposed to have kids. Society pressures women to feel like they have to freeze their eggs by 32 or there's no chance. And I say fuck all that.
Yeah,
I say it too.
I won't be freezing. They're just thawing out. So whatever happens, will happen.
Go to the doctor and just go get a count. You can go You can go find out how many eggs you have. So you can
I heard that.
Of mine and not be stressed.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Let me get my
count. You can
do
that.
Blood test.
I thought you would stress me more. I don't have to count them eggs.
Yeah, I'm just. It's in God's hands.
People, they need that. They need that. They need to, like, you know, and if that gives you peace.
I mean, I think you need. If that gives you peace, because I feel like it can happen. Like sometimes you don't. Things do happen. You don't.
I have thought about that. I told you recently that, like, I'm over here, like, I have the luxury of having children, right? Like, I am healthy. My body can carry a child. And sometimes I go back and forth between, like, do I want to have more kids? Mm-hmm. Or, like, oh, I'm cool. And then one day I was like, what if I just didn't have the option? Like, how would that make me feel? Like, just not having the option. Like, I just, one day I go to try to have babies and the doctor's like, too late.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, you actually are that, you know, 10% of women that can't have kids at 32, you know?
Yeah.
So just, I feel, I get the anxiety on both ends, I guess.
Yeah. Rolling the dice. We're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
So as moms who are dating, like when you're dating or thinking about who to date, do you think like, will this man be a good stepfather for my kids? Or are you thinking like, is this just a nigga that I like?
This the nigga that I like.
Yes.
Both. not together all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like
first it's usually like, damn, this is nigga.
Fine.
Like,
that's usually like, where it starts.
And then you know, they're like, huh, what if you have any fatherly skills?
I mean, shit.
Everyone's not supposed to stay forever.
Yeah,
that's true. And, you know,
there's probably like 10 questions I ask before I get to that question.
Before you get to the father question or stepfather?
Yeah, like, do I like you? Is the dick good? Like, you know.
What's your sign?
Do you cut your nails? What's your sign?
Mm-hmm.
What's the relationship with your family?
Well, you have any other kids, but your relationship with them?
What's your credit score?
Yeah.
What are your goals? Blah, blah, blah. And are you a good father? For my daughter.
father. So do you guys introduce your kids to your dating prospects, or is it after you decide?
If I've gotten to the point where I felt like I wanted to know that question a little bit more, like I've introduced Irie to people that I'm dating, I guess, and spending time with, but never with the intention of her like knowing that this is the person I'm dating, unless that's what I want her to know.
Mm.
You know, like
everyone's like, oh, this is my friend.
Yes, the mommy's friend. This is Mr. Ray.
Or yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can only do that.
Uncle Luna said to me the other day, she's like,
Uncle,
Daddy has a lot of friends that are girls.
Oh shit!
Huh. A lot of friends that are boys. And I was like,
what's Daddy doing?
Everyone can have whoever friends they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once the kids get a certain age, like, you can't tell me that's your friend. I know y'all are in that room.
Getting busy.
Yes.
They're getting freaky.
Remember? Right.
That's so funny.
Yeah, obviously, like, every guy you date, you don't introduce to your kid. And, you know, sometimes it happens. Like, a lot of people have these rules that they set, like, I'll never introduce my kid to none of my niggas. And, like, guess what? It's just, you're a mom 24/7. And so sometimes your kids will meet your niggas. Are they going to tell us, like, this is my boyfriend? Are you going to be affectionate in front of them? That's a whole different thing because, yeah.
If this man is my boyfriend, then he's definitely knows my daughter. Like, if you're my boyfriend, like, you've met my daughter and, like, she knows that. Well, there's only been one. I've only ever dated someone and, like, called them my man one time since Irie's been in existence.
Mm.
So, and that was, yeah.
Like, yeah. Listen to the pod.
It was a good practice. Yeah. You know, I learned a lot from that situation.
That's good.
Also, we have daughters, and I've learned, I think, that it's important for me, for her to know that, like, I'm not going to just bring a nigga home and he's going to be my husband. Like, he has to buy you candy. He has to take us out.
Candy.
He has to court us.
And he may not stay. Like, I don't want you to think, like, Disney is real, because it's not. You know, yeah. Not that you're going to meet every guy that I date, but I think that, like, even in that capacity to age appropriateness, like, I see her trying to milk niggas. Like, oh, let me ask him. Can you put me on your shoulders? I'm like, yep. Ask him for some more shit. Ask him for some money.
Mila.
Yep.
That's so funny. You know, my mom was a single mom growing up, and she dated, and I feel like I always knew that she was dating. It was never a secret. Like, my mom wasn't like, I'm not bringing no, it wasn't like the run in and out, but when she was dating somebody, like, I knew they would come over sometimes, they would hang out, we would all go out together, and I'm like, okay, you know, so I think it's kind of healthy to let your kids see.
How did that affect you? Do you feel like that negatively affected you?
I don't think so. My mom's always been a real one. She keep it like two Virgils from the top to the bottom. There's no secrets. It's just like, I'm dating. And my mom has always been a mom first, right? Like me first kind of mom. Like, I'm going to put myself first and I'm going to take care of y'all. And you're always going to be taken care of. I know that sounds bad, but okay, so self-full, not selfish, right? That vibe. Like, I'm going to make sure that I'm good so that y'all can be good. It's not being selfish if I'm making sure that, you know, we're all taken care of. So my mom always made sure that, like, it's always been a respectful type of vibe, but I'm not over here not dating. Like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be courted. If somebody comes over here to pick me up, it's always respectful. They might take us all out to dinner. So it was always that type of vibe. I knew when she was dating somebody, and it was like, cool. I don't feel like I was ever negatively impacted. I'd just be like, that's my mama nigga for right now.
Wonder how long he gonna stick.
Yeah, yeah, my mom has always been a dater to this day. Like, my mom's been married hella times, and that's just the way she gets down. That's just the way she gets down, you know? And when she doesn't like something, she moves on. Like, she's quick to cut off what doesn't serve her to figure out what does. So I'd be like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck.
I like your mama.
I like your mom too.
I yeah, mom. I didn't give a fuck. She's still figuring it out.
Fine.
She's still figuring out. Yeah. And I guess that's that testament, right? Like, she's not perfect. She's been mothering me and my sister for 30 something years. And she's still, at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of times what we forget is, like, moms are just people.
Right.
Moms are people,
parents,
you know?
Parents.
It's really no different. You guys are no different than us. You just happen to have kids. So you're going through the exact same thing. You're figuring out, like, your dating life, who's going to be the person that you, like, find partnership with. It's the same fucking thing. And I feel like there's a lot of pressure on moms specifically to be, like, this perfect person. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just like not the vibe. Like, dude, I just happen to have a fucking little person here with me. That's it. Yeah.
And it's impossible. And like, there's no way to just be how, there's no like rule book or instruction manual for how to be the perfect parent. And even if you think you're doing everything so perfectly, once those kids grow up, they'll be like, you didn't do this for me. Yeah. Like, there's no fucking way.
There's always going to be a resentment. It's like, it's always, and it's going to be the shit you didn't even expect. You're going to be like, that's why?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
the same way as the mom who dedicates her entire existence to just being a mom and like you abandon everything else and you do nothing else and Jody goes to this and Jody. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and this is what is happening. Like when Jody leaves, what happens?
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Who, like, will you resent him?
Yeah.
There's no benefit in like ignoring yourself because you think that's what you're supposed, because that's what society said. You're supposed to be fucking Betty Crocker and this perfect, you know, this perfect human being. It's just, it serves nobody.
I was just going to say that. Then you have those moms who do the dedication and then the kids go off and then it's like, now you have nothing. You never invested in yourself and you're just sitting there looking crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you could have been a hot bitch the whole time.
Hot girl shit, period.
You feel me?
Hot girl summer every year.
You could have been a hot ass mom.
The whole time.
I also feel like women exist that, you know, really just want to be moms and that's okay too. Like, it's, you know, I think for a long time I judged that woman too. I judged the woman who just literally her life's goal was just to be a mother. I was like, that's it, you know? But like, there's.
You, that's your life
that's
goal?
That's really what. That's really the.
I'm the judger.
All the other shit, you know? Right? And I understand it. I understand that because we're like, we're so magical. We can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you chose. But really, you chose the hardest job of all. You know? Like, raising a child is a job. We are often told and given all these distractions, like, you know, needing to make money and accomplish, you know, things that honestly don't really
post three times on Instagram.
It doesn't really matter, you know? Like, civilization and community was really based in just like chilling with your people. And that's essentially what a stay-at-home mom wants to do, is chill with her person.
That's true.
So I don't know, like, I think that there's both sides of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think as I'm getting older,
we had someone come on the show named Daphne. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go for it.
She came on the show and she has 5 kids and that's what she said. Jeremy. She's like, why are you looking like that?
Right.
It's the 5 kids. The 5 kids.
Keep in mind, she's done it like beautifully. They all speak French. They're all from college. They're supermodels. Like,
okay.
She's supreme mother.
Okay.
She cultured everyone and nurtured every single one differently.
Individually. I love that.
They were.
Yeah.
You okay. Like, okay. We'll give her flowers.
Yeah.
Give her flowers.
And when she put it that way, I was like, damn. And I know all her kids. And I was like, you did that shit.
Okay.
Now that's like, a parent.
I'm happy. And now her kids are all gone and she has like a younger boyfriend and she's fucking great.
Okay. Live your life, Miss Daphne. Shit, turn up then. Queen.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't understand.
Turn up the soft woman.
Yeah, people hated that episode. Some people really hated that episode because I think society really does, you know, tell women we're supposed to get up and be mothers, entrepreneurs, fulfill our dreams. What are your dreams? Tell me your dreams.
Yeah.
Do them. It can't just be this. It can't just be, you know, like. And she was just like, I don't care what society says.
And we have to be softer.
The woman is meant to be feminine and soft.
I need to
talk to her because I'm not soft. I'm soft. I'm hard as fuck.
With a light voice.
I like that piece, but I feel like for a long time, and it just could be because experience, right? And like, what is that called? I want to say like, I don't know if it. Whatever the fuck it's called, I don't know. But I don't connect with it, and for a long time, I kind of judged my what.
Resonate,
period. Resonate. You got me. Resonate. It didn't resonate with me. Motherhood, right? Motherhood, I did not understand it. And my ex-best friend was a mom before Mila was a mom before I was. And I could not understand a young woman being like
fully engulfed.
Fuck it. And just diving head first. I was like, bitch, you're drowning. I wanted to like pull her up. I'm like, get up. You are fucking drowning in motherhood and wifehood. Get out of there.
Yeah. Who are you?
Who the fuck are you? You know? And I feel like I judged that experience, not like being in it at all and not having any idea what it's like. And even like the person who feels like, I'm just here to be a mom. I'm like, really? You're just here to do that? I can't believe it. Yeah. So, I mean, as I get older and as I become more open to hearing people's experiences, then I can say, okay, maybe that is the kind of bitch you are. Maybe you did come here to be a mom.
Yeah.
And it's okay, you yeah. know? But as a young me, 10 years ago, I could not understand it. I'm like, you want to do what? Yeah. Get out. You don't really see. I'm like, here's the mirror. Look. What's going on?
The get out experience.
The get out. I'm like, get out.
Maybe there was something attached to that too. Like you knew the situation wasn't right for her, or also there is a selfishness that I experienced with my friends when I became pregnant. I felt like I didn't get support and I was confused by that. And probably it was some of that, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is she doing? Why yeah. is she doing that? You know? And like there being a, like, then I'm like, I'm not invited to the brunches anymore. But there's, I'm like, damn, this, a bitch can't get an invite.
But there's also this thing that happens when you become a mom, where like you do, like, no one says it, but you feel paranoid. Like you're like, are people judging me? Like if I do go out, shit. Like are people like, am I doing it? Like people are gonna say talk shit. Like I just had the baby, and now I'm in Vegas. Like all these. Honestly, there's these things that you've pre-put on yourself that you assume that other people are thinking, and so. Sometimes, like, bitches be thinking, like, I've made it. I have a baby. We have a house. It's perfect, you know? Like, but I do think it's important to maintain self.
Yeah.
You know, like, who are you outside of a relationship with anyone?
And that's
like,
what I feel was missing.
Like, not a baby, not a nigga. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who do you, when your baby meets you, who are you? Are you a happy version of yourself?
Yeah.
Honestly, like, you know who your mom is, Germany.
You yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, and my mom did the opposite. Like, she kind of like drowned in my dad, and he's very outgoing, but I saw her fucking drown and suffocate because she didn't take the time to figure out who she was. She just did motherhood. She just chased him. And as a, like a result, I'm so like, no,
the
don't,
opposite.
Don't ask me what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We're fucking.
We're fucking. And then you're leaving. That's all we're doing.
I think as you're saying that, I'm thinking about myself and like I, you know, and I'm thinking about like your view on your friend, right? And like how you were like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm thinking about how my friends may have viewed me, because I could only imagine, because they would never tell me, or those friends are not
but
my friends
you,
anymore.
Did you feel kind of when you first had Ivory that you had to be a certain way, like different than your old self?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And do you, were you, but also Erica, also did you completely kind of, but isolate but yourself. Were you only a mom? Were you only this like dedicated baby mama or like whatever the partnership
was? I isolated myself at first. I mean, the first few months of motherhood is isolating on itself. Like you can't really do anything anyway. You can't leave the house.
Your pussy's
right?
on the floor. The baby can't be exposed.
You know what I'm saying? Baby's like 2, 3. You know the vibes. When they get like 2, 3 and can like ask for milk on their own and shit like that. Request snacks. Yeah. Come on. Go out. Get out the house.
Out the house, even don't immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, get back to life as soon as possible.
Yeah, like with your baby, without your baby, but like obviously the first few years is a lot with the baby. That's the choice you made, and that's what we're doing, and your baby needs you, you know.
Yeah.
Things do shift,
but there is a shift that happens, and it gets easier and it gets better, and like the guilt is always there. I'm not gonna front. I don't know, there's no cure for mom guilt in my opinion. People try to say this is how the 10 steps for curing mom guilt. That's just not gonna happen.
It's like, bullshit.
It's permanent.
It's also, it's like, yeah, it's like what you get. It's like, the, you know, what is it like? What is it in the Bible? Like
10 commandments?
What?
I don't know.
Sorry,
like, why would you even ask me that?
We all sound like atheists.
I'm like, skip over the Bible talk. Get out of there. Get out of there. Abort the Bible talk. I don't know.
Abort. We're
wrong
done.
Show.
It actually isn't the pod for that. Get out.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, you guys, for like the first year of our podcast, do you know that we were in the religious Christian section?
No, y'all weren't.
Lies. Hell no.
How?
There's no fucking way.
We were in religion and spirituality on Apple Podcasts. I was like,
for like a year.
Okay, how'd you, okay, off air we'll talk about switching categories. Off air we'll talk about that, because we have tea. Go ahead.
So speaking about being judged, like you guys are mothers that smoke weed. What are some reactions you've received from your discussion of openly smoking marijuana on your podcast?
Like, are they mostly negative? Are they positive? What are they like? Because Blunt Boy Mama said she got positive reactions across the board. And I'm like, really?
Well, here's the thing. In the bio, niggas, it says cannabis smoking moms. Right. So if you have a problem with it, you've come to the wrong page. You've come to the wrong podcast, dear. And, like, like we have cultivated a community of, like, even if you don't smoke weed, like, do what you do, I'll do what I do. We'll come together and love each other. You know, like, well, this is not, like, motherhood is hard already. So I am not judging anyone for getting through it however way she gets through it. As long as you're growing in it and you're doing your job, more power to you. Like, it's not popular to talk about it, but, like, parents, moms need weed more than anyone. I highly recommend moms smoke weed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes it way better.
As I take a toke.
As she hits the joint. You know, we've really had not a lot of haters when it comes to, you know, sharing our position and, you know, posting us smoking on Instagram.
I'm sure it will come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're not like, you know.
We've been lucky, though.
We're famous in that, huh?
When they get more famous, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which I'm shaking thinking about it. I'm like, if somebody tries to drag me.
She always says that.
I did post something and someone got, like, there was a lot of comments. Remember when was one post and it was like, people were
tripping. I don't remember. We did do like a more mommy show of two white women. And we talked about, we possibly talked about doing mushrooms, dating during quarantine, and they were not. They were like, all they want to do is do drugs and collect their kids. Fuck up, Sally. Everybody's fine over here.
Oh, my God. It's different. You know, black people, we hit different anyway. White people don't understand it.
Oh, yeah. What was our one insult we ever got? Like, you think you're cute?
What?
We got like one mean DM and it was like, you stupid head. Like, oh, we got to try way harder than that.
So wait, as black women, specifically black moms, what like adversity or negativity do you feel like you experience that isn't talked about frequently? Like, what do you feel like are your, you know, what do people do to you, say to you? Mila said.
I think first of all, there's a huge stigma about being a single black mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that, like, probably white moms don't experience as much anxiety. There's a huge stigma, like, nobody wants to be a baby mama.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, it's a stereotype in our community that, like, the fathers are not around or we have multiple children by multiple niggas. And, like, nobody wants that. You know, that's the biggest thing. Like, just stay with me so I won't be a single black mom.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's just being black, being made in America comes with a lot of issues, a lot of trauma. And it's harder to be a more sexually liberated black woman. It's harder to be a open cannabis smoking black woman. Like, you add being a black woman to the things that are already looked upon in a certain way, and it's harder to swallow.
Yeah,
you know, like,
for sure.
A white mom is like, yeah, we toked the pen, and it's like, ah, or taking hot pills, or they drinking wine, and it's fine. Like, literally, you see it in our communities. Like, white celebrities will overdose on heroin on Tuesday, and next month they'll be fucking hosting the Grammys.
Yeah, yeah,
our people get. Our people get dragged, but everyone deserves, like, to grow in whatever it is that they do.
They you need, know, black, we deserve grace.
Other, yeah, we do have grace. And we do whatever we want anyway, and we look good doing it. Agreed.
Yeah.
I love Mila. Really do.
You are so funny. So, when you guys aren't feeling too hot, what are some things you do to, like, tap back into your sexy Mila? The way you be dancing on the internet, I'm like, Mila, fucking yes.
Once Mila's out in her with her hands over her titties moving, I said, once hands are over breast, I'm like, Mila.
Show out.
Not the way I be dancing on the internet.
I'm like, Mila.
Mila's like, moving that little body, oddy, oddy. Yeah, I'm like,
let
okay.
Let me do that and send a little video. Shit.
Send them, baby. Yes.
You know we solicit nudes. Come on.
We love it.
Bravado nudes. Actually, you know what? That's where you should start.
Okay. Sending our nudes. Do y'all get some crazy ass nudes? Y'all get some real, like, pussy lips?
I've gotten full pussies. We're like, whoa. Okay, pussy. Same morning. Then we'd be like, bitch, we asked for it.
I know. I'm like, damn, we did ask for this.
Penises. It's kind of, sometimes I'm like at the store, I'm like, oh, wrong. Oh.
We were just talking about the art.
We can't really solicit it anymore. Not solicit. We sound like yeah. We can't really.
We can't solicit naked
because Instagram is patrolling certain words.
And
hating particularly
on
our account.
And hating on us hard. Like, we've been blocked from live multiple times.
Damn, Instagram
for dumb shit, like crazy shit. I'm like, I didn't even do anything. What did I do?
Quit silencing black women.
Right.
We were just talking about the art of the perfect pussy photo. Before we got on air, it's like, don't have them lips just closed.
Like, yeah, you had to like use a little fingers on top. You know.
Fingers to open it up.
Yes, it has to be wet, you know.
A little V.
Your nails have to be done.
Yes. Exactly.
There's a certain thing to it. So what specifically do y'all do when you're not really feeling like hot moms? How do you tap back into your sexy?
I am an avid naked dancer of my house. That's my shit.
Yeah.
I like to dance like freely, breathe heavily. Like I like to dance in very little clothing in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me feel good and feel sexy and feel free. So.
I guess I like to dance naked in my house too. But I think like little things, like honestly, like today I got my eyebrows done.
Mm.
And bitch, you couldn't tell me shit all day.
Yeah. Period.
I got my eyebrows done and this little beard that's popping up.
Yeah.
She texted me. She's like, by the way, it was so random. I'm like, work. I threaded my whole face.
Okay. Erica, you are me. I am you. I be the same way. As soon as I get something, I be up in here in Brittany's apartment like,
she got
what?
Her eyebrows done on Friday and she was like,
yeah.
I'm like, they look great.
I'm like, you see, and my nails were done. I said, bitch, I was walking around her place like.
You had a trio. You were like.
Right. I was like, you see it. I was doing the sneaky link like around her apartment.
Don't let me also have my hair done all at once. Like,
girl.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's just like.
Braids and an eyebrow wax will like.
It's a facelift. It's a facelift. Yeah,
like, new levels.
Yes. I immediately looked at myself. I was like, wow, you're 5 years younger. Look at you.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's that. I also, masturbation is a way that.
Ooh, you know, yes.
I feel sexy. And yeah, I love masturbating. It's a big part of my life.
Yes.
I highly recommend using it for manifestation, which is something me and Mila talk about a lot. And it's just a really good way to connect back with yourself. And I think currently, because I'm not having sex too, like it's like, it's been great. It's the star of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're on your detox. I've recently been getting into, well, not recently, I've been into it for a year now, avidly into masturbation. The other day I masturbated 3 times.
Wait, hold up.
What kind of toy are you using over there?
Tracy's dog.
What is it called?
Wait, okay.
The Soul Sucker.
Huh? Is that the one with like the thing and like the sucker?
Tap in, yeah. Yes. Yes, that's it. Wait, that's what we use.
It wasn't good. Is it good or
what?
It's great.
That's next
level.
My soul
gets.
They told me the reviews were out of control, and then she got it, and she was like, "Eh." I was like,
she hasn't quite figured out which setting, because there's a setting for the clit and there's a setting for the G spot. So you have to.
Separate.
So it goes in.
It goes in. And then there's also, so there's the little piece that goes on your clit that does a sucking motion. Mm-hmm. And then there's a piece that goes inside of your actual vagina and does the penetration. So they both have settings. So you might want the clit part to be sucking pretty fast while the G spot.
Thing about that is that sometimes everyone's clit is higher and lower than others. And it's hard to match up exactly. Right?
You probably got to pull that thing up, you know, like.
Sometimes I just put the thing, I don't even do them both. I just put the little thing on top of the clit and say, let me get this. I ain't got time to be aligning. I don't have time to align. I just put it right on the spot and I say, well, shit, we're already here.
Well, look at there.
That's the quickie. That everyone, you know.
It's worth it to me. It's worth it to me. It's only like $40-$45, so. It's good. I personally love it. I'll probably
it's a staple
use
in my
it
home.
Tonight.
I will be.
Also, have you ever used masturbation like when you're like stressed out? Like has nothing to do with sex. Like you might just be having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to like.
Uh-uh.
I recommend doing that because it'll take. It helps. Or like if I'm having anxiety or I just need like to release, and sex is even like the last thing on my mind. I'll masturbate and it's like a release. It's
mm-hmm.
just like,
yeah.
I just immediately feel better. Like the shit might still be bothering me, but it's not as bad as before.
It's like a sleeping pill for me.
The NyQuil.
The Ambien. I'm like, let me go. I'm having some insomnia.
Next thing I know, I'm knocked out with the thing, the little vibrators.
Every time she says that, I'm like, bitch, get up, wipe it off, put it up. Falling asleep with it on the side of you like a nigga is just crazy
to
me.
That's what I've done.
It's crazy to me. So, Erica, you mentioned you're not having sex right now.
That's how it
is. She's crazy with that. I'm like, the little... Anyway, so you're not having sex right now. You're doing this whole dick detox. You've invited the community and Patreon to get involved, and you guys have been having, like, live chats about it. And you all have really built a community around your live shows and your live events. So, like, how important is community to you all? Like, the community that you've built specifically?
Everything. It's like, it's the only reason we tell our business on the internet. it's the shit. It's there's so much strength in having a community and feeling comfortable to do this shit and just knowing that you have people that are going through the same shit. So many times, like, I'm glued to my DMs, like, having private conversations with people I've never met in countries I've never been. Oh. Like, I have friends, deep friends, and then sharing all my deepest, like, oh, my God, you're going through this, too. And just even being able to cultivate other women and moms, because we know how it felt to not have someone else who understood us. You know, like, just like, damn, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And being able to admit that to somebody. And so it's the most important thing for us.
Yeah.
We love that. So can you all let her, this has been a beautiful conversation.
It has
heard
been.
The usual. It's always good catching up with you guys, mm-hmm. and we love you guys. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you all on the socials and your podcast?
Y'all are high.
I was trying to hold for the plane.
The plane. Did
you I'm like, tap in.
No. We are Good Moms Bad Choices across all platforms on Instagram, goodmoms_badchoices. Come check us out on Patreon. We have secret episodes and even more of our business. But you can't search us. You have to put patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices because we're explicit and shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
No, we don't have an OnlyFans, but maybe we should.
I think we should.
We do have a website, goodmomsbadchoices.com, where we have a lot of cool merch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the new merch just dropped super cool pieces.
So cute. So
a lot
cute.
Of fun stuff.
Thank you.
Yes.
Your
yes.
merch is dope. I love your merch.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Yes.
I have to get a shirt.
We have something coming for y'all. Don't worry.
Yes.
Y'all are on our list.
Your merch makes me want to come over. Like, I know your house is nice.
Mila, you are funny as fuck, dog.
This girl. We're going to cut it here so we can talk off air. Thank y'all so much for coming on. You're literally one of our, two of our favorite moms to talk with. So it's only right that we end our Moms Making It Happen series with y'all. So thank y'all so much. We love you a lot.
Yes.
Thank you. We love you. Thank you for having us.
Yes.